prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for September 11th, 2023. It is a Monday, if you don't know that already. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing this fine Monday afternoon?
Oh, couldn't be better.
Well, good. It is Monday.
It'd be scary if it was better.
Do what now? Be what?
It'd be scarier if it was better.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you're not scared.
I'm not scared.
There you go.
Be prepared. Don't be scared. Be prepared.
you're learning how to talk right.
Yeah, I am. Boy, oh boy. Golly.
After 2 or 3 years, I'm finally getting you to learn something.
Oh, guess I am learning something. But let's go ahead and tell the listeners about gold and silver. So let's go ahead and get started on that. And we have gold today, 340, 1923 off the high of 1930 in the New York spot price after market. December futures, 1945. So that's looking pretty good. So it's not down. It is higher. And let's see what silver is doing. Silver is up 16 cents at 23.17. Platinum was up $8 at 908. And palladium was up 20, 1,252. The USDX was down 0.50. The 104.55. Crude oil was down a couple cents at 87.22. And the paper markets today, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I guess I've been talking too much today. We have, the markets aren't coming up here yet. So they must be clearing. I don't see, I'll be darned. We're having a little bit of a computer issues here.
Maybe they crashed. We just don't know yet.
Maybe. I can kind of get, I can't give all the details, but I can give a little bit. Looks like the Dow was up, you know, like 60 points. The NASDAQ was up larger at 162. And the S&P was up 27 points. I'll confirm that in a little bit, but Yeah, the NASDAQ popped about 1%. And the markets are all giddy over Biden being in the G20 meeting. But well, I'll bring up the rest of the report later on in the program.
You caught it right. The Dow was up 687 and S&P was up 29 and NASDAQ was up 156.
Mm-hmm.
Just haven't found those on there. So they're up a little bit. Nothing to brag about, but they're up a little bit.
Yeah, none of my reports are coming up. So you'll have to start it off today, Butch.
I'll do the best I can. The best I can, looking, trying to find the overseas markets. I'm not good at this. I'm doing on my
Well, I'll bring them phone. Later on in the program.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Whatever you want to do, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to add before I get started?
No, because my computer's frozen, so why don't you just go ahead and start?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, let's get started then. Let's see. I got a lot to cover. There really is a lot of stuff, and a lot of good stuff, and a lot of bad stuff along with it. Most people will know, already know what's happened in Morocco, folks, a Moroccan earthquake. I wouldn't feel right if I didn't cover that because it was huge. The death toll already hits about 2,500 so far. And foreign rescue teams join race against time to dig out the survivors as footage shows terrifying moment that caused buildings to collapse around fleeing civilians. Morocco's strongest ever earthquake has so far claimed 2,497 lives and injured thousands, with foreign teams today joining an intensifying race against the clock to rescue any remaining survivors from beneath the rubble of flattened mountain villages. Now, if you've seen that, folks, on video, they literally were flattened mountain. They're flattened. Literally, it's has to be one of the scariest things in the world to have your house fall down around you. But anyway, terrifying footage shows the moment people ran for their lives, and Marrakesh was rocked by the powerful 6.8 magnitude quake. It struck around 40 miles away, destroying homes and damaging historic buildings. Around 300,000 people were affected by the quake. The UN has estimated, with many have left homeless, fearing more aftershocks, forced to sleep on the streets of Marrakesh for the past 3 nights. That's a sad thing to report. It is. It really and truly is. So I know for you prayers out there that are believers in a mighty God and understand who Christ is, keep those people in your prayer. They certainly do need it. They truly do. Different topic, but I think important. Normally we wouldn't talk about this on this program, but it's something I think is very important. The attitude of the New Mexico governor is absolutely stunning and scary. New Mexico's governor, who banned firearms in Albuquerque, says her oath is not absolute. Her oath is not absolute. I wonder if her wedding vows are absolute. Huh. Anyway, Republicans in New Mexico are calling for impeachment. Elon Musk called her executive order banning firearms from being carried in public for 30 days next level illegal. But New Mexico Governor Michelle Grisham is defending her order, claiming it was necessary to protect public health, and besides, her oath to uphold the Constitution was not absolute. I can make two comments here. I just kind of got to say this. How does disarming me, a law-abiding citizen who's willing to protect others by defending them with his life, going to harm somebody, an innocent bystander, and going to start shooting in a theater? Who's going to stop the bad guy with a gun, a good guy with a gun? And Miss Grisham says an oath is not absolute. I'm glad I'm not her husband. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute, she retorted after being asked whether her order violated her oath of office to uphold the Constitution. It's true there are exceptions to most of our constitutional rights. We can't yell fire in a crowded theater, for example. There's also the fighting words doctrine that makes incitement to violence illegal. But anyone who claims there are exceptions to their oath needs to be impeached. The words oath and absolute pretty much run together. And this cretin of a governor is looking to separate them because she's got herself in a heap of trouble. I mean, Melody, what word can I use for somebody, anyone, to say, well, I took an oath, but I didn't really mean it. It's not absolute. I mean, how dishonest can that be?
Well, it really is, but they're honest and coming out and telling you that basically they're going to do whatever they want to do when they want to do it. It doesn't matter
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. If this slides by, There's nothing they can't do.
That's right.
If she's not impeached for this, then there's something definitely wrong with New Mexico and this whole country. But, I mean, I thought an oath was an oath of something like taking a vow on your wedding day. I thought they were to be absolute. Didn't you?
You'd think.
Gee, I mean, I didn't know there's a time limit. I didn't know, but anyway. So sad. The oil market hasn't felt the full impact of Saudi Arabia's cuts yet. I want to share this story, Melody. Saturday afternoon, I went up about hour and 45 minutes north of us to a little town called Weston. And that's where my granddaughter was going to have a, I keep forgetting the name of it, gender reveal party. We're going to see what her next baby's going to be, her next great-grandchild, what it's going to be. She already has a great-grandson, be 2 years old next month. Well, she's going to have another boy, you found out, in February. But I went up here, I was going to take the car, and it was in the car, had a flat on, so I didn't have time to fix it, so I took the truck. And the truck's so hard on gas, went up to, in Weston, y'all may have Sheet service stations where you are, you probably do. But my truck's a flex fuel vehicle, and I had never really thought about flex fuel before. I put it in the pump where it was, and regular gasoline, where I live here, is $3.75. In Weston, it was $3.19. But flex fuel was $2.59. So I filled up flex fuel first time ever. I put $50 in. I almost filled up. Saved me $22, and it runs greater than the truck. So that's a huge saving between regular gasoline and flex fuel. I just want to make that point. So, and $2.59, Melody, for a gallon, any kind of gasoline, is not cheap anyway. You know that also. But we haven't seen anything yet. The markets is yet to see the full impact of Saudi Arabia's production cuts, and oil prices could go far beyond $100 if its output remains low. Far beyond 100. I don't know what they are today. I said close to 85 or to 90. Saudi Arabia has pledged to extend its 1 million barrel per day production cut through December, a move that would tighten markets dramatically. While Russia appears to be falling up short of its pledge to cut exports, strong demand indicators suggest the market is set to tighten. The market hasn't seen the full impact of Saudi Arabia's extra production cut, which could lead to a drastically higher, tighter market if the world's top crude oil producer keeps export levels low, according to Vortexa. On Tuesday, Saudi Arabia said it would extend its $1 million barrel per day cut through December. The move reinforces the precautionary efforts made by OPEC plus countries with the aim of supporting the stability and balance of oil markets. Russia also extended its 300,000 barrel per day export cut until the end of 2023. So October, November, December, they're not going to change their output. They're going to keep it cut. So look for oil prices to go up, gas prices to go up. We're going to go to the winter blend of gasoline pretty soon, which I've been told sometimes is cheaper, but not this year. So get ready, Melody. This could hurt. It could hurt.
Well, sure. If people are boxed in like they are, and you know, we see the latest numbers on credit cards, the amount that they've gone up, and so people aren't using cash and so forth. Yeah, they're strapped. So any bit of increase in gasoline, and we look for the truckers, and we look for, you know, the diesels. Those that's what really has an impact on everything.
Absolutely.
It always upsets me when people say, well, you know, what's the big deal? 25 cents. That's nothing. It is something. You know, even when interest rates were beginning to, what's a quarter point? It's no big deal. It is a big deal. Just because that is not impacting the person that is saying that doesn't mean that it's not impacting other people significantly. So, you know, it's, and you know what, we're a consumer, this nation, the people, they're going to do what they're used to doing, and they're waiting for it to turn around. And that's what usually happens. You know, you get behind and you struggle and you go on and you're expecting things to get better somewhere along the line. Well, how is it going to get better is the question that's never answered. So It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And when businesses start having to pay it, and they will, we pay extra too then, don't we?
We certainly do.
People don't stop to think about it. It's not a individual problem. It's a group problem. It's a chain problem. Everybody pays higher interest rates whenever they borrow money. Everyone pays more for transportation, whether it be truckers or individuals, when fuel prices go up. And when businesses pay more for their production or their cost, we pay for it. Folks, this is something that you just can't just shrug off and say it's nothing. It is something. And I don't know how anybody else out there is doing. I mean, I know for me personally, by the grace of God, I'm making it. But it's getting tougher, Melody. It's getting tougher every month. And I'm not afraid to say that on the air. I don't care who knows it. It's getting harder to keep the ends together. Because every time I turn around, something else is going up or something else is breaking down. It costs more to fix it. That's just the way it is. Now, when truckers start charging more to deliver food and other products, guess what the price of food is going to do? So we need to stop, folks, and realize this is a chain. It doesn't just affect one individual, and it's sad for them. It affects all of us. Anything you want to add to that, Melody?
No, I think we covered it.
And I just know that we should be proud, though, of a president, though, by golly. Border Patrol agent, and we mentioned this, but I want to read the article. I want to prove what we're saying. Border Patrol agent reveals O'Biden, they called him, administration gives $2,200 per illegal immigrant family each month. It's alarming to learn that, according to a Border Patrol agent, the Biden administration is providing illegal immigrant families with $2,200 per month in taxpayer funds, plus plane tickets, housing, food, and free medical service. The average Social Security check is $1,300 a month. The illegals are getting a $900 pay above the average Social Security check and have never put a penny into it. Plus free medical services and food and housing and a plane ticket to where they want to go live. This information supports a claim made by a legal immigration group called Alipac, and the gentleman that runs Alipac, William Gein, has been on the program, a nice fellow, and he's telling like it is. The Biden-Harris administration is giving more money to illegal immigrant invaders than to our own citizens, William Gein, president of Alipac, told KTRH. Once a person understands that, then that person will always be on the side of the illegal immigration debate, which is very simple. Keep them all out. Send them all home. The Border Patrol agent stated that illegal immigrants are provided with more than just the monthly checks. They also receive housing, food, free medical service, and even a ticket to the desired location within the United States. Furthermore, they mentioned that ankle monitors used to be employed for this purpose. However, these were pretty recently replaced with phones. Oh, buddy. Lastly, they highlighted the role of cartels preparing these people before crossing the border. Now, these people are trained on what to say and what to do when they get to the border. Isn't that marvelous? Cartel tells them everything. Word of mouth. These guys know everything that we do. It's just the way it is, the agent revealed. This evidence that suggests that many illegal immigrants possess a high threat of knowledge regarding U.S. immigration procedures, such as required statements for asylum claims. They often come prepared with documents pre-printed by their home governments, including birth certificates. Benjamin further points out that this may eliminate the need for asylum interviews in some cases. Our veterans are homeless. Our homeless population growing in all the major cities, even in little towns here in Charleston and Huntington, West Virginia, and probably even in Beckley and other smaller towns. They get really basically nothing. Illegals get free housing, a monthly check, free medical care, food, and transportation. Gee, Melody, what's wrong with that picture?
Boy, I don't know. You know. And it's, well, you know, our debts now are, what, $33 trillion. So, hey, let's just add on another trillion. Nobody cares, right?
No, what's used to worry about it? You know, I mean, they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's frustrating. And now, but don't worry, next year we'll have an election. It will change everything. We'll send all the illegals back to their own countries. They'll cut taxes back to where we can afford them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Yep, and they'll crack down on crime. There'll be no more gangs in the cities. We'll see the towns reopen and shopping malls reopen and businesses reopen. We'll see the streets cleaned up. No more drugs and vagrants on the streets. No more prostitution in the streets. No more gangs, thieves, no gang going in the stores. We're going to see that come to an end after the election. Because we're going to put Trump, or DeSantis, or who else may be running, in there, Melody. When they get in there, within 2 months, they'll fix, won't they?
Absolutely. Well, maybe they can fix it and give us a longer, keep our break from happening so soon. You think they'll fix that?
I doubt it. But
okay. All right, then. Let's go to break. Okay. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
All righty, I guess I'm brings back in. I didn't hear Melody back there. Are you there, Melody? I suppose I'm still on the radio. Somebody's got to be. I hope somebody is. But I don't hear Melody. So, Todd, everything's still working on my end? Okay. Melody disappeared during the break. Why can't I say? She's like a Houdini. But so we'll go from there. We're talking about migrants, and bless their hearts, how we're paying them to come in here and take over a country. We're paying for our own invasion. Our own demise. We truly are. Well, we all know New York City's in a jam. We know that Mayor Eric Adams was crying to be a sanctuary city. Now he is. And now he's trying to get the federal government, Biden, and his governor to help him pay the bill. And they don't want to do it. So, New York City to cut up to 15% of its budget to pay for migrant influx. New York City Mayor Eric Adams announced that because of the huge influx of asylum seekers into the city, at the lack of help from Albany and Washington, he'd been forced to ask for a 5% reduction in spending from all city departments. And if no help is forthcoming, he says he'll have to ask for another 5% reduction in January and another 5% next March. Let that sink in a second, folks. 15% cut per department. Adams says the migrants will cost the city up to $12 billion over the next 3 years. Without state and federal funds, they will destroy New York City, he proclaimed earlier this week. Frankly, it's hard to tell if Adams is just trying to put pressure on his friend Joe Biden and his enemy, Governor Kathy Hochul, or if he's serious about cutting billions in city services. The simple truth is that long-time New Yorkers and asylum seekers will feel these potential cuts, the mayor said in a pre-recorded message, and they will hurt. It's not like New York isn't already in a crisis. City Council Speaker Adrian Adams has been critical in the past of Adams' migrant policies, but she, too, recognized that without state and federal aid, New York City is going to be in a world of hurt. There remains an urgent need for increased state and federal support to aid the city's response to increased international migration, Speaker Adams wrote in a joint statement with the City Council Finance Chair Justin Brandom. Tens of thousands of people seeking asylum are arriving in the city at a time when we're already confronting a housing crisis, record homelessness, and the sunset of the federal COVID stimulus funds. New York City cannot be expected to handle this on her own. The costs are considerable, and it is critical that the city receive more aid while safeguarding funding that supports New Yorkers. The future of our city and its continued economic recovery relies on the investments we make into our communities and the essential services they rely on. Folks, another major city is imploding. Another sign of a society collapsing. What was once the greatest society on the face of the earth and in history is collapsing. And I can tell you why. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. It's the moral base has been destroyed. Christ has been taken out of the picture. He's the substance by which all things consist. Once he's gone, there's nothing left to build on. And we're seeing it happen right now. Melody, you made it back yet?
I did.
We just lost you all of a sudden.
My computer just went down. We just lost service there for whatever reason.
Oh, okay. All right. We were just talking about New York City. Over the next few months, up through March, you're going to have cut as much as 5% right away, 5% more in January and 5% more in March on all three of the city departments to try to house the illegals, which means a 15% cut in all three service sectors, which will mean that New York City will not have the services they need to keep the city running. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, it's really sad because they already don't have, you know, they already cut back and they don't already, I mean, the services have already been cut. Now they're going to be cut even more. People, the New Yorkers, should be outraged.
I agree. They should literally be outraged. Up to the point that they're storming the mayor's office and telling them, we don't want this. Get these people out of here. But Melody, I don't live in New York. I never have lived in New York. I lived in New York State for about a year or so. I was in third grade. Didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. But nonetheless, I mean, the city that once was New York, where millions of tourists come into every year to see a beautiful city and to enjoy the highlights of the city, tourists are starting to quit coming, and they're getting mugged in the streets. That's something. There's something wrong with the nation, is there not?
There truly is. I mean, I like New York. It's a beautiful state. We got lots of listeners, and we do have people there. But even I think they would agree that New York has major issues, major problems, just like so many states in this nation have issues, and they're just not being addressed to the manner in which they need to be in order to help the citizens. And it's sad, and it's... They're following, you know, these politicians, I think, are following a directive because I don't see how they can't see what they're doing. I don't understand how they can't see that what they're doing is wrong. It's mind-blowing. But
well, they have to. You know, I was up in New York a couple of years ago doing a funeral for a cousin of mine who passed away up there. And the state itself is a beautiful state. I mean, the lakes are gorgeous, the mountains are pretty. But the state is under oppression from its leaders, and I really didn't feel comfortable there because of the different things that we have down here we take for granted that up there they don't have. And it's such a beautiful area as far as nature goes, and we met some really nice people up there. But it's just amazing how that state is going down the tube, and New York City is leading the way. So sad. And another city that's going down the tubes. Illegals turned Chicago's O'Hare Airport into a scene from Mad Max. Remember that movie Mad Max?
I do.
Mel Gibson's son. Mel Gibson starring in it.
I do.
Okay. Thanks to a flood of Joe Biden's illegal aliens, Chicago's O'Hare Airport looks like a scene from Mad Max, said the local reporter. Mad Max is a dystopian movie franchise set in the near future after the breakdown of society. I hate to say this, but we're breaking down, folks. More than 400 illegals are reportedly being housed in a section of the airport hidden from public view behind black curtain, reports Fox News. This is a jump from 31 in early August, from 31 to 400 in a month. It's going to be next month. Chicago reporter William Kelly told Fox News that O'Hare is just one of the 18 migrant shelters in Chicago, and that homeless Americans are no longer allowed to stay at the airport. Now, remember that by a zip back up a second there. Illegals coming in from 31 to 400 in a month, and homeless Americans are being kicked out. Melody, that just doesn't sound right to me. How does it sound to you?
No, I think I said this too last week. I remember when Trump had the people in cages.
Oh, yes.
And look at the outrage at that. This is far worse than what he ever did to those people.
Oh, my. Former Democrat Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot booted the homeless from O'Hare due to citizen complaints, but now illegals are allowed to stay there. So homeless Americans get thrown into the streets while people who broke into our country legally are taken care of and probably getting $2,200 a month per family, medical care, and food. There's just something not quite right, the picture, folks. This is not the America I grew up in at all. Not even close. And it breaks my heart to see this happening in the country. It really does, especially now that I have another great-grandson coming into the picture, Melody, in a few months. It does bother me a lot.
Yeah.
It does. It truly, truly does. Thank God this child's going to have some great parents. Parents that will not refuse to vaccinate their children. Praise God for that. And my grandson, I did a wedding for 6 weeks or so ago. He and his wife are not going to vaccinate their children when they have them either. So we have got some blessed hope in that segment. But it's going to get tougher as time goes on to stand the ground. We all know that. It's coming. And as we watch this nation continue to unravel, folks, it's not just with the adults and the adult gangs. It's going down the line, you know. This is so sad, Melody. New York City, child thieves keep targeting bars, leaving owners overwhelmed with thefts. The police can't arrest me. I'm just a kid. Did you hear that headline? Isn't that something?
That's what they know.
The owner of an Upper West Side bar that's been terrorized by a gang of thieving children. Used to be that didn't go together. Said he was threatened by one of the gang youngsters as yet another Manhattan business owner came forward Sunday as a victim of the kiddie crime wave. Kiddie crime wave. If that don't make you want to cry, I don't know what will. Jacob Rabinowitz, owner of the Amsterdam Ale House, was at the bar on West 76th Street on Saturday night when he said he spotted one of the children who robbed his patrons back in February panhandling outside his business. Rabinowitz told the Post he chased the boy away and went on to warn other businesses about the child, which is when the youngster allegedly threatened him. He said he was going to beat my tail. That ain't the word to use. Rabinowitz recalled Sunday. It was this little kid telling me that. When the pub owner warned the child that he would call the police, the boy allegedly replied, "The police can't arrest me. I'm just a kid." The chubby-cheeked crooks, who appeared to be no older than 10 years old, have been targeting businesses in Manhattan and Brooklyn for months, graduating from snatching money in unattended bags to stealing cash from open safes, workers and owners told the Post in an exclusive report Saturday. A child could be seen making off with the waitress's belongings after clearing out her bag at the Stone Street Tavern. 10 years old. At 10 years old, what was I doing? I got my first shotgun my dad bought me, little single-shot Iver Johnson. They don't make me more, but he paid $10 for it. It was a well-used gun. My youngest son's got it now. I hunted with it, 10 years old. I killed my first squirrel with my grandpa when I was 10 years old that year with that shotgun, actually a couple of them. And that's what I was doing 10 years old, Melody. I wasn't trying to steal from anybody. If how old my dad would have I still wouldn't be able to sit down if I'd done that. You know what I'm saying? So how has this nation changed in our lifetime? How has it changed our lifetime?
We got spoiled.
We did. We got lax in morality.
Yep. Goes along with we had it too good.
Yeah, we did.
And the more you have, the less you do, and the less you protect, the less you, and the more you expect. And, it's a cycle.
And if you don't keep your eyes on the morals in society, society falls apart. Matter of fact, I have a saying here in my Bible, the evolution of nations, and they said from liberty to prosperity, and prosperity goes back into selfishness and bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened to Israel in the Old Testament. They prospered and forgot God. Guess what happened to America? But anyway, different topic. Should be considering this as something to think about. Russia will sell natural gas to China at a 50% discount compared to European buyers. And I'm sure they're still making money at that.
Oh, absolutely.
A new economic outlook revealed that Russia expects to sell gas to China at a steeply discounted rate over the next 3 years, far below the price European buyers will pay, according to a Bloomberg report. Report citing an outlook through 2026 from Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin showed that Moscow will sell pipeline natural gas to China an average price of $271.06 per 1,000 cubic meters next year. Buyers in Europe and Turkey, on the other hand, will face an average of $448.07. Those prices should remain through 2026 with gradual reductions over time, per Bloomberg. This year, meanwhile, Russia expects to sell gas to China an average of 297.3 per 1,000 cubic meters, while the remaining clients in Europe and Turkey will pay an average of 500.6. Wow. Almost double the price. I wonder if our sanctions have bothered Russia any.
What do you think? I'm sure it has, but they've been able to survive.
It hasn't bothered enough that we can tell a whole lot of difference yet, has it?
No. Nope.
You know? Long as China buys from it, India buys from the other places that use more fuel than UK and America combined, I think they'll survive okay. And I'm sure that it's tit for tat in this country. Whatever China has, they probably sell Russia at a great discount.
Sure.
And India does also. So we're not hurting them, folks. Russia's too big of an economy and got too many friends in the world for us to hurt with our little piddly sanctions. And we're seeing this ramp up, this so-called war in Ukraine ramping up to something bigger than I think we won't think about. Now, here's another reason as to why it's getting very dangerous. U.S. military exercise in Russia's backyard, caused alarm at the Kremlin. Armenia, Moscow's longtime regional partner, is frustrated with the Kremlin's failure to fulfill security guarantees. As Washington seeks to exploit cracks in Russia's traditional sphere of influence, U.S. forces begin joint military exercises with troops from Armenia, the small South Caucasus country that has been a close Russian ally for nearly 200 years. Wow. In a possible sign of geopolitical realignment driven by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, U.S. forces commenced on Monday 10 days of joint exercise with Armenian soldiers. About 175 Armenian soldiers were trained with 85 soldiers from U.S., U.S. Army Europe and Africa Command outside the capital of Yerevan. Since the breakup of the Soviet Union, Armenia has been an important security partner for Russia and houses one of a small handful of military bases the Kremlin maintains on foreign soil. The country has also remained a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, a security alliance of former Soviet countries, which Moscow has developed as an answer to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. But Armenia has increasingly worked to shrug off Russia's influence, particularly in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Early this year, Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan directly denied a Russian announcement that the CSTO would host exercises this year in Armenia. He also refused to send troops for the exercises, which were ultimately held in Belarus earlier this month. So a Russian ally for 200 years is snubbing Russia. That could provoke the bear a little more, folks.
Yeah.
It certainly could.
I hear the music, so that means we're heading into our break. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter and blog that is edited and produced by our very own Dave Allen. So, well, we got some great – oh, by the way, we sell gold and silver too. That's what I'm doing here, selling you all some gold and silver. We do have the best prices, the best service. And, you know, we've been around almost 29 years. You know, we worked hard to build a reputation. And, you know, I don't want to be one of the big guys. We sell just as, you know, we sell just across the nation like they do. And, you know, we've got some wonderful clients and associations made throughout the years. And, but if you're looking for a good price and just common sense advice, because it's the common sense advice that's going to get you through any of the hard times that we face. It's when you buy into their promises in the sky and all their BS that they provide to you, that's when you get yourself in trouble. And, you know, I can't tell you how many portfolios I get that I review where people are just, you know, taking You know, they might get their product, but I'll tell you what, the garbage that they're sold and the prices that they're paid, these people are shameless. A lot of them, people go to the people they hear online, or not online, but on television, because if they're on television, they must be good. That's not true. You know, you get your product. You can't say you never got your product, but what you pay, and you agree to it, so there really is no recourse. The only recourse you have is if you sue them. And I only know that's worked for one person. I remember getting, just in the very beginnings of our business, there was somebody that sued one of the, everybody knows this one dealer, and the guy spent $100,000 and got about, you know, $40,000 a product. and he got his money, but he probably paid the same amount for an attorney, but he had the money and it was principal. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Butch. Oh, by the way, folks, I got my computer back. So European markets were all positive. Asian markets, the Nikkei and the Hang Seng were lower. Of course, Shanghai was higher just by a little bit. 10-year yield was higher, 4.29%. And my natural gas was barely up 0.5%, 2.61. So there you have it in a nutshell.
Okay, that's quick. Okay. Another bump in the Russian saga. Kim Jong-un to visit Russia at Vladimir Putin's invitation. Kim Jong-un will travel to Russia at the invitation of his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin. Pyongyang and Moscow said on Monday, amid warnings from the United States that the two leaders could strike an arms deal. The United States government said last week that such a meeting could take place as part of Russia's efforts to find new suppliers for weapons to use in its war against Ukraine. Neither country specified when or where the visit would take place, nor what would be on the agenda of any potential face-to-face. The Kremlin said in a statement Monday that Kim would pay an official visit to Russia in the coming days, while North Korean state media said they would meet and have a talk. Of course, another U.S. warned North Korea, don't do it, you'll be sorry. Of course they will be. I'm sure. I mean, we can supply Ukraine, but don't you dare help your friend, North Korea, whatever you do. And Melanie, it just goes on and on and on. This war that keeps dragging on. And it's a war. It's not a world war yet, as far as nations being attacked outside Ukraine and Russia. But nations are taking part in a war, are they not?
Well, sure they are. I mean, every nation that supplies them weaponry and so forth is part of it. So, you know, it's just that, you know, Kim Jong-un is not a good guy. Putin's not a good guy. Kim Jong-un is not a good guy. But then I have to ask, well, how good are our guys?
Yeah,
of course, they are
Biden,
better.
Not,
I mean, they are
guy.
Better.
Biden's
I mean, they're not, they're bad in a different way, I think.
I think they're more sneaky. But anyway.
I think, you know, our governments, I think our governments, I'm not going to say the people or who they are and so forth, but yeah, all the governments are the same.
Well, and if you polled the people, I'd say 80% of them don't want to go to war. They don't want to go to war. They're not mad at us.
I don't think anybody ever did throughout the history of the world. Nobody's ever wanted to go to war.
They have to be instigated to do so. You know, like World War II with that happened at the Pearl Harbor. That was they knew about it before it happened. Same thing, Gulf of Tonkin with Vietnam. So all this is planned, folks. It truly is.
It's all by design.
British RAF, that's Royal Air Force, plans to deter Russian Air Force over the Black Sea. There's a prophecy in the Bible about the Black Sea, folks, about Russia putting ships in the Black Sea. That's one of the signs of the end times. I'm not making it up. Look it up. The United Kingdom will be engaged in military efforts to deter Russian attacks over the Black Sea, the Prime Minister's office has said, as the government condemns the Kremlin for damaging global food security. Russia withdrew from the Black Sea grain deal In July, an agreement brokered between Putin's government and Turkey, which allows ships carrying Ukraine-grown grain to transit the Black Sea to the world beyond. The deal was seen as critical given that Ukraine exports represent one of the top sources of grain for areas such as North Africa and the Near East, and a slump in supply of grain being held up in Ukraine saw global prices soar, intensifying hardship for many. The British government has said the deal provided a lifetime but for millions of a lifeline for millions of people around the world who depend on Ukrainian grain exports. Despite Russia's move to resume attacking the civilian ships in the Black Sea, which is Ukraine's main logistical link to the outside world for bulk cargo, the UK said it would be providing cover in the region to see the flow of ships continue. Could that be another segment of fighting in this ongoing war? Sure sounds like that, Melody.
Sure does.
I mean, how much more will be tolerated before the whole thing flies into, well, flies into hell is all I can say. How much more? How much more will Russia, or either side, but Russia especially? Ukraine is not doing well. Even General Milley says, Milley, what his name is, said that Ukraine is not gaining ground fast enough. They're not gaining ground hardly at all. He said if they don't do it here within the next month or two before winter sets in, they're not gaining any more at all, period. So all the billions and billions we sent to them, plus what UK sent them, and I think somebody estimated 500,000 Ukrainians dead already in the war. That's the military, not counting civilians. They haven't gained much ground for it. And I don't understand, Melody, why Russia didn't go in and crush them within 2 weeks. There's a reason for it. I don't know what it was. I had no idea. But Russian news outlets and talking heads cavalierly suggest Russia will target U.S. with nuclear weapons. You know, you're not hearing that on U.S. news. While U.S.-based news outlets often divert to discussing the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine in terms of whether or not America is doing and or funding enough abroad to assist Ukraine, talking heads on Russian news outlets apparently are speculating whether the Russian government will target U.S. for actions perceived as to be running a proxy war. And we are in a proxy war. Snyder references the ongoing coverage of the Russia-Ukraine conflict as broadcast in Russia, asserting that officials aboard regard the war in Ukraine as an existential conflict between Russia and NATO, adding that there is constant talk on Russian television about the possibility of nuclear war. Pointing to an article from Newsweek, the referenced Russian news outlet National Defense Editor Igor Korchenko, the Kremlin propagandist, has issued the latest nuclear threat against the West regarding the war in Ukraine, warning that the U.S. could be in danger of Russian missile attack. In a news clip from the appearance on Russian One, Korchenko reportedly said, "The most important message we should send to the Americans is that we will not wage war with you in Europe." Korchenko was reportedly even more candid in his words when speaking in 60 Minutes, saying, "In response to your attacks on Russian military or civilian facilities, the first strike will be a preventive limited strike against targets on the territory of the United States of America." Wow. That's pretty straightforward, folks. The first strike will be a preventative limited strike against targets on the territory of the United States of America. These sorts of threats shouldn't be taken lightly, as Russia reportedly announced recently that their STARMET strategic missile system, which apparently has the capability to reach U.S. soil if launched, had been placed on combat duty. Major General Alexander Vadimov is also among those in Russia making claims that the U.S. could be targeted by the country for their meddling in the ongoing war with Ukraine, asserting that nuclear war isn't just a possibility, but rather is inevitable. Did you hear what I said? General Alexander Vadimov said that the nuclear war is just not a possibility. It is inevitable. I'm sure that nuclear weapons will be used in this war, inevitably. And from this, neither we nor the enemy have anywhere to go. The sooner politicians and leadership realize this, the sooner we start to train troops and the population for this, the more chances we'll have for survival, which means victory. Meanwhile, the Biden administration seemed intent on poking the bear with China insofar as approving $80 million in weapons package for Taiwan under the collar of a program typically meant to behoove sovereign nations. Needless to say, the Chinese aren't exactly thrilled by the Biden administration's move, And in recent years, the country has been drawn closer to allyship with Russia. All of the aforesaid could be potentially spelled a possibility for World War III. Wow, Melody. When you have a general saying it's not a possibility, but it's inevitable, on worldwide news media, that's not a good thing to hear, is it?
No, it isn't, but he's absolutely correct, I believe. I believe it's inevitable. I mean, look what's happening.
If we saw someone, anyone, trying to broker a truce, no one's even mentioned it as far as I know. Do you know of any? I think China hinted at one time some months ago.
Yeah, they shut them down.
Nothing else has changed, has it?
No, nothing. So,
go ahead.
You know, and it's just kind of when you, I was listening to Richard Haass this morning, and, you know, he used to be the president of the Council of Foreign Relations. And, you know, and when he was talking about that, he always says the global economy, the global this, the global that. And, in order to finish it, that's what we have to have. We have to have a World War III.
That's true. That's very true. And that's been talked about in the past and also prophesied in the past by people with three world wars.
Yeah, absolutely. So do I want it? I'm hoping that they can hold it off for 50 years.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
At least. I don't know what else we can say to that. Folks,
I'd be 89 then.
Golly. You'll be getting up in years, but then you don't have to worry about it.
I don't have to worry about it anymore.
But as I watch this unravel, Melody, and I watch what's going on, and I know we're not hearing the truth on the news. I know that. They're not telling us all the casualties. We know that also. On either side, probably. But Ukraine is suffering hundreds of thousands of casualties.
Yeah.
And they're not gaining ground at all. With all the money's been sent to them, all the weapons sent to them, they're not gaining ground at all. And from what I can read from other sources, they're actually losing ground.
Yeah, we're not getting the truth of what's happening to in Ukraine. And
no,
yeah,
not.
All that money, all that weaponry, all the military vehicles and everything. That's what I don't understand. If they were telling the truth, everything, all the money, not just us, but everybody, all the weaponry and so forth, as much as we sent, and as weak as supposedly Putin is, you would have think, yeah, the question is, why didn't Russia come in and just knock them right out? The second question is, why hasn't Ukraine knocked them right out with all
That's
the weaponry and the money that we've given them?
Good question. I mean, I don't know when they're going to start using F-16s. I have no idea, or whatever they're going to use, F-35s. I don't know what they're going to do then. I have no idea. It's not going to make any difference in the long run. It just isn't. It's not going to. All that we've sent them has been used up, including the billions of dollars that we know Zelensky used to build a mansion, I think, in Spain. So, yeah, why not? Why not keep on shipping to them? And let our people in this country go hungry. Why not? Why not give it to illegals? Let our homeless people go without. Let our veterans do without. Why not, folks? I mean, that's what America is, right?
Yeah.
Help our enemies and
turn our boys into girls and our girls into boys.
Exactly. There you go.
We are out of time, and because I hear music, and we will be back tomorrow. So, folks, be safe out there. Good night, and God bless.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Got me.